Hebrews chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated King of Righteousness, and then also King of Salem, meaning King of Peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. May God bless to our hearing the reading of his word. You would open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 7 and then hold your place there and turn back to Genesis chapter 14. If you would. Hebrews chapter 7 and Genesis chapter 14. I've always felt as a Bible teacher that if I can clearly give you the context, the proper context of every passage, then I can teach you that passage. So it's my prayer that we can put you in the proper context of this passage here in Genesis chapter 14 as we introduce you to this strange character named Melchizedek. And maybe you will leave this place today understanding a little more about Melchizedek and what's going on here and how it applies to each of us as believers in Jesus Christ. Let me see if I can give you the background here, and then we'll have some prayer, and we'll launch into our study. This is following that decision that Abraham and Lot made. You remember that story, where Abraham said to Lot, if you go over here, then I'll go over here. But if you go over here, then I'll go over here. In other words, Lot, you choose the direction you want to go. So Lot obviously chose the valley of the green fields, that lush valley with the river flowing through it. That's where he wanted to go. So old Abraham chose to live in a tent out in the desert. Amazing. Now as things transpired in the Word of God, there were four kings of nations who came and they attacked the valley of the green fields. They attacked the four kings that were there, and the most prominent king was named Bera, king of Sodom. That's where Lot was. And these mighty kings with thousands of soldiers came against the valley of the green fields. They destroyed it. They destroyed Lot's home, and they took Lot and his family, kin to Abraham, remember, Abraham's nephew, captured them, kidnapped them, took all of the spoils of those kings that were there, destroyed everything, and then took off with all of this wealth. Now here's old Abraham over here in that tent, and he had his family and his servants, just a few hundred of them. And this slave made it through to Abraham and explained to him what had happened. That these kings had destroyed the Valley of the Green Fields and captured your nephew and your family and all their spoils, and they're running away with the loot. So Abraham did something amazing. And this is amazing. He put together a little ragtag army, folks, of just a few hundred men. And he launched out on a rescue mission. Now we're thinking, and I'll be thinking the same thing, what chance would this man have to go up against those mighty kings? One of them was named Chedorlaomer, and with a name like that, you got to be fierce. Chedorlaomer, and he was a very fierce warrior, and he had a bunch of warriors, a bunch of soldiers going with him. But it's an amazing thing. I'll cut to the chase. Abraham amazingly defeated those armies by God's grace. And he rescued Lot and his family, and he got all of that wealth. And he's bringing it all back now to the Valley of the Green Fields. And waiting for him is King Bera, the king of Sodom. He's waiting there. And he sees Abraham coming across the field there, and he's got all of this wealth with him. He's got Lot and his family with him. Brought you right to where I want you to be. Can you imagine just for a moment how Abraham may have felt at that time, at that moment? Do you think he may have had a tendency to have a little pride? Now think about it a minute. He had taken this little ragtag army and he had defeated these fierce kings and all of this military, all of their military might. He had put them to rout and rescued his family, and he's coming back. Do you think he had a tendency to be a little bit proud, a little cocky? Would you? Would you be thinking, man, look at me? It's an amazing thing. As he walked across that field toward Bera, Bera's waiting for him. But we have a setup here. This strange character came out of nowhere, and his name is Melchizedek. And he came between Abraham and all of those, and his family, and all of those that wealth, and King Bera, and he cut him off at the pass. Now let's read this. Look in verse 16 of chapter 14. Let me see if we can plug you in here. See if it makes sense as we read it. So he brought back all the goods. This is Abraham. And also brought back his brother Lot and his goods, as well as the women and the people. And the king of Sodom, that's Bera, by the way, went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh, that's the valley of the green field, that is the king's valley, after his return from the defeat of Chedorlaomer and the kings who were with him. Now notice, verse 18, then Melchizedek. And I'm thinking, hold it, where did he come from? King of Salem brought out, now watch this, bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High. Now this is the most amazing thing. It's a wonder that we celebrated the Lord's Supper today, because this is where it began, right here. He was reminding Abraham, commune with the living God. Walk in fellowship with Him, Abraham. He gave you the victory. You didn't do it. Submit yourself to Him. Serve Him. Give Him your life. Walk with Him. Give Him glory. Give Him glory, Abraham. Don't take the glory for yourself. Now watch this. He was the priest of the Most High, verse 19, and he blessed him, that is, Melchizedek blessed Abraham and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. Notice, blessed be Abram from the source of God Most High. Abraham, that's your God. Your God is the living God. Your God is not all these gods of the Canaanites here. You serve, you worship the living God. Now you submit to Him and you walk with Him. Don't be set up by the world, Abraham. Don't be conned by the world. Now watch, let's read on. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. Who did it? God did it. Who gave you the victory, Abraham? God did. Now watch. And he gave him tithe of all, that is, Abraham gave Melchizedek a tenth of all that he had, all of his possessions. Now, look in verse 21. Let's finish this. Now, the king of Sodom said to Abram, that's Bera, give me the persons and take the goods for yourself. Now, watch, he's being set up here. Listen carefully. Now, we're dealt with people, we can understand this. What he was saying is, Abraham, you just give me my people back and you can take all the wealth to yourself. See, what he was doing is, he was saying, if Abraham had done that, just given Bera the people and taken the wealth, then Bera was going to say, well, Abraham did all that just so he could get rich. Just so he could take the money and the wealth. He really didn't do it because he cared for the people. Now, I care for the people, Bera would say. So he's been set up. Ah, but Melchizedek had bushwhacked him. Now his mind is on the living God. Now his mind is on the power that gave him the victory. Now he was walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ. He was having communion with the person of the living Lord back then. So here's what he said to Bera. Notice this. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. Now watch this. He's saying, look, I serve the living God. I have raised my hand to Him. I worship Him. I have submitted myself to Him. So what? So watch this. That I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abram what? Rich. Except only what the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men who went with me, Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. Just take care of my men, is what he's saying. I have a sin nature. I have a tendency to be proud and arrogant. I do. I have a tendency to take the credit for what God does in my life. I have an overwhelming tendency to do that. I say to myself many times, God, you know, what would you do without me? If I wasn't working for you, what in the world would you do? And it's so difficult for me at times to submit to the living Lord and to glorify Him and say to Him, God, you gave me the power to do that. God, you're directing my life. Now that happens, watch this, that happens only when I'm walking in fellowship with Jesus Christ. If I'm out of fellowship with Him, I always have the tendency to what? Give myself the praise, give myself the glory, give the sin nature the glory. But if I'm walking in fellowship with Christ, then I give Him the glory. Number one sin on God's hate list is pride. Pride. He hates above all things pride. And the only thing that can defeat pride in our life is to walk in fellowship with Christ, the living Lord, to be consciously aware of His presence. Now, I'm getting way ahead of myself because I want us to flip over to Hebrews 7. And I want you to keep in mind this idea of communion with the living Lord that Melchizedek brought out. It's the first thing that was said. He brought out bread and wine. There was communion that took place here. There was this initiation of fellowship with the living Lord that was brought about by Melchizedek. Now, I know we want to know, who is Melchizedek? Are we going to find out? Probably not this week, but maybe next week. This is introducing you to this text. I think it's a good introduction. I really do. I think you will understand some things about Melchizedek you didn't see before. We've already made this comment. Abraham reveals to us how we establish a relationship with God. That's Genesis 15:6. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. So Abraham teaches us how to have a relationship with Christ. It's by faith in Jesus Christ alone. But Melchizedek is going to teach us how to walk in fellowship with Christ. How to have communion with Him on a daily basis. That's what that is. When we walk in fellowship with Him, we're having communion with Him on a daily basis. Now, the reason we have communion here in the local church is to remind us to do that. Right? We need a reminder from time to time that we're to be walking in fellowship. Now, what does that mean? We're to be consciously aware that we're in the presence of the living God all the time. And that He is, listen, He knows our thoughts, our words, our ways. He can see in the dark. We cannot hide our sin from Him. We cannot cover our sin. We have to walk openly and honestly before Him. We have to give Him the glory. That's what He wants. He wants our heart. He wants our lives. He wants us to walk with Him and talk with Him and commune with Him. That's what Melchizedek is all about. Now let's go to Hebrews 7, look at verse 1. We're going to introduce him this week. Now, before we look at the passage, you got to hear this because a lot of things have to come before. But back in Genesis 14, those few lines about Melchizedek is all of the record that we have. We don't have anything else. And you look at that text and you say, boy, that's not much. This guy came out and he brought bread and wine to Abraham and he blessed Abraham and he received tithes from Abraham and that's it. That's all we have. Oh, but there's a lot more that went on there. There's a lot that we didn't see there that the writer of Hebrews says, this is what really, really happened. Now let me open it up for you. So he does. In Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 1, did we pray? I'm following Mojo. He says, no, we didn't. I'm going to follow him. Let's pray. Father, we need God the Holy Spirit to teach our human spirits your word right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let's watch. Look in verse 1. For this is Melchizedek. And the name means King of Righteousness. King of Righteousness. Who else is the King of Righteousness? The Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Righteousness. That's right. Now let's read on. King of Salem. That word Salem is the old Hebrew word shalom. Do you know what that means? Peace. So he's the King of Peace. He's the King of Righteousness and the King of Peace. Both point to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't miss it. Now notice, priest of the Most High God. Now hold it right there. Got to see this. God teaches us in the Old Testament that you could be a prophet and you could be a priest. But you could not be a king and a priest. Never. he separated those two offices. All of the kings of Israel came through Judah, the tribe of Judah. That's Genesis 49:10. All of the priests came through Levi. So if you were going to be a king in Israel, you had to be born of the right tribe. And if you were going to be a priest, you had to be born of the right tribe. If you were going to be a priest, you had to show the records that you came from Levi. And if you were going to be a king, you had to show the records that you came from Judah. Now here's the point. Jesus Christ could be king, right? He came from Judah. But he couldn't be, now I'm talking about in Israel's eyes, in the Jews' eyes, he couldn't be a what? A priest, because he came from the wrong tribe. See, God kept those separate all the way through the Word. He never let the kings be a priest. In fact, there was a guy named Saul who tried that. Do you remember that story? It's a strange story. You probably went through it in Sunday school. You know, he would always call the kings, before they went into battle, they would always call the prophets and they would offer the sacrifice to God. And that sacrifice had to be made so that it would guarantee victory for them, because they were focusing then upon the Lord. It brought their attention, the king's attention, to the living God, and then that would mean victory. But Saul one day, Samuel is just like me, he was late. I mean, he was busy. And Saul was anxious. He was ready to get on with it. Man, the battle was on the horizon. We need to get on with this. So he moved on his own. He did something. He offered his own sacrifice. And we look at that and we say, well, that's not very, what's wrong with that? I mean, you know, that's sort of an innocent thing to do. He offered his own sacrifice. Well, when Samuel came, though, and realized what Saul had done, he was more than a little bit upset. In fact, God told Samuel, you tell Saul, he's through. What? Yeah, he's through. He's through being king. You mean you're going to take my kingdom from me, Saul would say, just because I offered a sacrifice? God said, yeah, you took on the role of a priest. And you're a king, and you can't do that. And what he was saying there is there's only going to be in the history of the world one king priest. And who is that? Jesus Christ. He's the only one that God said, you're going to be king and you're going to be priest. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see, this strikes us right away that this Melchizedek is both a king. He's the king of righteousness, he's the king of peace, and he's also the priest of the Most High God. He's a king priest. Well, that should get our attention right away. Something's going on here that's good. It's exciting. We're seeing something happen here. And notice it says, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, and notice, he blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, being first translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace. Now, we're going to see later on in this passage that Abram was, as far as the Jews were concerned, later on were to be concerned, he was a big muckety muck. He was called a patriarch. He was a VIP. Among the Jews. And he is today. And he is for us too. He's a big man. And it's always the big man who blesses the inferior. Never the other way around. The inferior never blesses the big guy. But here, amazingly, this Melchizedek blessed Abraham, showing us that he's the greatest. He was superior to even the patriarch Abraham. And not only that, but Melchizedek received tithes from Abraham. Now that's never heard of. You see, it's always the superior that receives the tithes, never the inferior. But here, the superior, Melchizedek, received the tithes from the inferior, Abraham. Do you see what's going on here? There's a superiority that's being established right here before our eyes. What God is teaching us here is that Melchizedek is superior to Abraham in every way. Now watch. I'm going to have to extend a little time this morning, but hang with me. Notice in verse 3, without father, without mother, without genealogy. In other words, when you see Melchizedek in Genesis 14, there's no record there of his genealogical line. He didn't come from a long line of priests, right? He just came on the scene out of nowhere. And he was a priest. He was already a priest. And there's no record of his father. There's no record of his mother. We don't know about his birth. And we don't know about his death. As far as the record shows, he's still a priest. This teaches us that his priesthood is an everlasting priesthood. Now watch, let's go on. Having neither beginning of days nor end of life, we have no record of his birth, no record of his death, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. I have question after question as I'm in the home of people, especially elderly saints. They say, who is Melchizedek? And really what they want me to say is, well, he's a theophany of Jesus Christ. He's a manifestation of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, which he may very well have been. I don't know. All I know, in history, he is a real figure. He was there. And it says he was made like the Son of God. That is, there's some similarities between Melchizedek and Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that. Tremendous similarities. Things that tie together. What's true of one is true of the other. So he may very well have been a theophany. I don't know. I can't be arrogant enough to say I know who he is. But it says he's made like the Son of God. I know that. I know that much. Now watch this. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of his spoils. What that's showing is that Melchizedek is superior to Abraham, the patriarch. But there's something else going on here I want you to see. Keep in mind that Hebrews is written to the Jews to teach the Jews that are no longer to be Jews, they're to be Christians. Remember? That to get beyond the law and Judaism and go on with Christianity. Now watch this. Let's watch this. And indeed, look in verse 5, those who are the sons of Levi, who receive the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. Now watch this. Here's the deal. We've got the Levitical priesthood that came from Abraham. They were told by God, you are to receive the tithes from the people. They are to give their tithes to you, Levites. All of the Levites receive the tithes. So that would mean, they've got a lot of clout. Maybe the Levitical priesthood is the superior priesthood. Maybe it is, because they received the tithes from the people. But let's read on. Something amazing is going to happen here. Watch. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them, that's Melchizedek, received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Again, who's superior here? Melchizedek. Now watch, let's read on. Now beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. Here's what we're seeing. It's saying it over and over again, but we need to see this. It's saying Melchizedek is better. Melchizedek is superior. He's far superior to Abraham. But watch, let's read on. Verse 8, here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. That's Melchizedek. And it's witnessed that he lives. And what that's a, that is an expression in the original language that would teach us that his priesthood is an everlasting priesthood, that he forever lives. He's an eternal priest. He had no beginning of days nor end of days. And he had no genealogy that could be marked by men. His priesthood is an everlasting priesthood. Now watch, let's read on. Even Levi, catch this phrase in verse 9. Even Levi, who receives tithes, now notice, we're going to change something here, paid tithes, hold it. He paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak. Now notice when, look in verse 10. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Go back in your mind's eye. Here's Bera waiting for Abraham to come across the field. Here comes Melchizedek. Right? Now, God established in Hebrews, who's the superior one here? Melchizedek is superior. He blessed Abraham. He's the one that, first of all, brought out the bread and wine. That spoke of communion. That spoke of personal fellowship, a personal walk with the living Lord. That's going to take care of Abraham's pride problem with Bera. But also, and this is, listen, if you see this, you got it. Melchizedek received tithes from Abraham. But there's something else. Inside of Abraham's loins, that is, inside of his physical body, he's going to become the father of a lot of people, right? He's going to become the progenitor of a great nation of people. And he's going to become the progenitor of all of the Levitical priests, right? They're in his loins right there. Would you understand that? See, I've taught you this before, but there was a time when we were in the loins of our great-grandfather, right? In fact, had they died without having no children, where would we be? Where would we be right now? We wouldn't be here. Down through the line, we had a great grandfather and a great great grandfather. And I'm going to trace my genealogical line, and I get only so far, and I don't want to stop because there's a few horse thieves and other people back there that may embarrass me. That's okay. The whole Levitical priesthood is in Abraham when he, watch this, he received tithes. It showed even there who has the superior priesthood, Levi or Melchizedek? Melchizedek has the superior priesthood, even over the Levites, even over the Levites. So this is the guy, this is a Jewish writer here, and he's saying to the Jews, who is superior, the Levites? And they would say, yes. He'd say, hold it. Look at this. They're not superior. Melchizedek is superior. And what he's attempting to do, he's going to tie the Melchizedekian priesthood to Jesus Christ. I want to look at one passage and I'm through. I know you're tired. That's a lot of words coming at you. But look at Psalm 110 and we'll leave this portion today. Psalm 110, this is the words of David. Verse 1, Psalm 110, look at verse 1. I'm going to read down through verse 4. Look at it. The Psalm of David. The Lord said to my Lord, Jehovah said to my Jehovah. It's amazing, isn't it? Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. That is, here, watch this. Remember, Jesus Christ took the throne at the right hand of the Father. Sit here till I make your enemies your footstool. Now watch this. Let's read on. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. Now look in verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever according to... There it is. That's what we're going to see. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. How amazing it is that we catch a little glimpse of Melchizedek all the way back in Genesis 14. And we say to ourselves when we read that, what does that have to do with us, dear Father? Melchizedek taught Abraham that he is to fellowship with the living Lord. And today, Jesus Christ teaches us that we're to fellowship with the living Lord, that we're to fellowship with Him, that we're to give Him our lives, that we're to give Him our mind, our heart, that we're to give Him our pocketbooks. We're to give Him everything. There are people who need to hear about Jesus Christ. Father, we're to present our body a living sacrifice to You to carry that message to them. We're to make that offering of ourselves. We are a kingdom of priests on the earth, but we have a high priest that we're responsible to. Teach us these things, dear Father. Make them come true to us, and Father, begin to motivate our thinking because of it. Begin to move us out of our lethargy. Begin to move us out of this world into another world to walk with You by faith. Father, thank You for Your word. How powerful it is. And it's my prayer that we would live above the arrogance and pride of this life and submit ourselves to You. And thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand?